We hit a drive-through and went on back to my apartment. At the top of the stairs that led down to my door, I felt myself starting to get angry. They'd hammered the door flat. There were some scuff marks on it, but not much more than that. Tough door. But the wooden frame around it was shattered. There would be no way to get the door mounted again without extensive repairs that were probably beyond my skill level. I stood there shaking with rage. It wasn't like I lived in an ivory tower or Bag End. It was just a dingy little hole in the ground. It wasn't much of a place, but it was the only home I had, and I was comfortable there. It was my home. And Rudolph and company had trashed it. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath, trying to calm down. Molly touched my shoulder for a second. "It's not so bad. I know a good carpenter." I sighed and nodded. I already knew that when all this was over, Michael would be showing up for me. "Just hope Mister will be back soon. Might have to board him somewhere until the door is fixed," I started down the stairs. "I just hope that..." Mouse let out a sudden, deep growl. I had my blasting rod out and my shield up in less than 2 seconds. Mouse is not an alarmist. I've never heard him growl outside the presence of danger of one kind or another. I checked to my right and saw no Molly standing there. The grasshopper had vanished from view even more quickly than I'd readied my defenses. I swallowed. I'd heard many variants on my dog's snarl. This one wasn't as threatening as it might have been, as it would be in the presence of dark threats. His body posture was a balance of tension and relaxation, simple wariness rather than the fighting crouch he had exhibited before. He'd smelled something that he thought was extremely dangerous, but not necessarily something that had to be immediately attacked and destroyed. Slowly, I went down the steps, shield at the ready, my left hand extended before me, my fingers in a warding gesture, my thumb, pinky, and index fingers stiff and spread wide apart, center fingers folded. My right hand held the blasting rod extended before me, seething scarlet power boiling out from the carved runes and the tendril of bright flame at its tip, simultaneously ready to destroy and lighting my way. Mouse came down the stairs with me, his shoulder against my right hip. His growl was a steady tone, like the engine of a well-tuned car. I came down the stairs and saw that there was a fire crackling in the fireplace. Between that and my blasting rod and the stray bits of afternoon sunlight, I could see fairly well. The FBI could have done worse to my apartment, I supposed. Books had been taken off my bookshelves, but at least they'd been stacked in piles, more or less, rather than tossed on the floor. They'd moved my furniture around, including taking the cushions off, but they'd put them back. Incorrectly, but they were back. Similarly, my kitchen had been dismantled with a kind of cursory courtesy, but not destroyed. All of that was secondary in my mind, next to the pair of coffin-sized cocoons of what looked like green silk. One of the cocoons was stuck to my ceiling, the other to the wall beside the fireplace. Susan's face protruded from the second cocoon, sagging in something near unconsciousness, her dark hair hanging limply. On the ceiling, I could see only a man's mouth and part of his chin, but I was pretty sure it was Martin. They'd come back to my apartment, presumably after the feds left, and been captured. "Mouse," I murmured, "you smell any cordite?" The dog shook his head as if to shed it of water, and his tags jingled. "Me neither," I said. So, whatever had been done to them, it had happened fast, before an extremely quick Susan or an extremely paranoid Martin could employ a weapon. One of my old recliners was faced away from the door. As I stepped across the threshold, it spun around, completely ignoring the fact that it was neither meant to spin nor mounted on any kind of mechanism that would make such a thing possible, and revealed, in firelight and shadow, an intruder, and my cat. She was tall, looked like green silk. One of the cocoons was stuck to my ceiling, the other to the wall beside the fireplace. Susan's face protruded from the second cocoon, sagging in something near unconsciousness, her dark hair hanging limply. On the ceiling, I could see only a man's mouth and part of his chin, but I was pretty sure it was Martin. They'd come back to my apartment, presumably after the feds left, and been captured. "Mouse," I murmured, "you smell any cordite?" The dog shook his head as if to shed it of water, and his tags jingled. "Me neither," I said. "So, it's been such a long time since we've spoken." I shivered and kept my blasting rod trained on the she-woman. She was a fairy, and I'd learned from long experience that the folk of fairy, summer and winter alike, were not to be underestimated. Only a fool would trust them. But on the other hand, only a madman would offend them. They set great store by the forms of courtesy, etiquette, and the relationship of guest to host. One flouted the proper forms at peril of rather extreme reactions from the she, the lords of fairy. So, instead of opening up with fire and hoping I got in a sucker punch, I lowered my blasting rod, gave the Lenanshi a precise, shallow bow without ever taking my eyes off of her, and said, "Indeed, it's been a while, Godmother."